couple places, portions of scriptures, if you want to turn with me, 2 Kings chapter 13. And then we'll be going to the book of John, chapter number 11. 2 Kings chapter 13, starting verse number 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. John chapter 11, verse number 41. Or goes back up to verse number 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. I really feel tonight, and the Lord's going to help me, that I'm going to preach on one word. Almost. Almost. Hallelujah. That's a word that fit a lot of things, isn't it? That just opens it up. I can just reach in a lot of different directions. And if I don't hit it, it's probably just because I didn't think about it. But almost. Almost. How many times tonight it's been mentioned? This week you've heard it. Over the past year or two in the preaching. How many times you heard, "It's almost time. It's almost over." Amen. You have two in these two stories that I read, two men that died. It wasn't close. They died. They were on their way somewhere for eternity. You say you want to live forever. You're going to. You just got to choose where. And you've only got a lot of time to do that. The Bible wasn't clear of really whether Lazarus was even saved. Jesus loved him, but Jesus loves the sinners. Jesus gave his life for the drug addicts. Come on. For everyone. For everybody. Jesus loves everybody. That didn't mean he was saved. I'm not saying he wasn't. But there's no scripture that says he was. You take the rich man, come to Jesus. "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus told him the commandments. He said, "These I have kept from my youth up." He said, "Thou lackest one thing." How much is it going to take to keep you out of heaven? I say that to say, I don't think God is cruel I don't think he's mean. These people that he brought to life, we even read of one man that he brought to life that it was in a funeral procession out of the town. You remember? And Jesus raised him from the dead. He had compassion on the mother, weeping. But it wasn't clear whether he was saved or not. I know Jesus knows the future, and he knows whether they would have made it or not anyway. But it's just hard to imagine that the Lord would bring somebody back into this world in the shape that it's in, and them lost. I mean, and them saved. Made their journey, and then bring them back. Come on now. But these people was almost towards their destination in eternity. Almost. Was almost there. And God brought them back. I was listening today. Brother Marvin come in, different ones, talking about the accidents. Vehicles on their hoods. Side of the banks. We seen one or two yesterday. Accidents. Some of them over the past few years traveling. If you live on the road, you see a lot of it. And you see accidents. You wonder, did they survive? Or was it one of them that almost didn't make it? As many people, I would dare to say that probably somebody on the way to church tonight had a close call. Somebody coming over on them. Almost run out in front of them. Or maybe you made a mistake and you almost run out in front of them. Almost. Almost. Hallelujah. Oh, God's going to visit somebody. I feel that tonight. Amen. I really do. God's wanting to visit somebody tonight. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's almost over. It's almost time to make your decision. It's almost. How many people? And I don't apologize for this. I didn't think about this until the Lord dealt with me on it. And I know that I was going to preach it. Because I know this church has had their share of it, but there's a lot of other churches that's had it too. How many has tried to take their life? And almost succeeded. Amen. Lord had compassion. Somebody praying. Somebody seeking the face of God. Somebody calling the name out. Was it your name? Was it your situation? Was it your life? God's fixing to do something. You hear me? And you can be a part of it or you cannot be a part of it. I mean, God's fixing to turn this thing upside down. Someone says, well, I love the United States. Well, I do too, but I'm not looking for my Savior out of the United States. I'm looking for my Savior to come. Yes. Hallelujah. And he's going to come. Amen. And he's almost here. Yes. How many in here's had their close call? You almost didn't make it. And I know there's others in here it has. You almost. But God gave us more time. Someone says, well, I was sure lucky. No, maybe God just knew your life. Maybe it was that one more thing. That one thing that he needed to deal with your heart about. That one thing that you won't turn loose of. That one thing that keeps you from getting on fire for God. That one thing that stays in your way all the time. You get so close several times, you almost make the move, but you don't. You almost come to the altar. You almost cry out to God. You almost turn loose of it. And how many times have you almost did it? I am so proud of these young people. I'm so proud of these testimonies. I'm so proud of these getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But how many opportunities did they get before they finally turned loose? What if God hadn't gave you that opportunity? Why are you preaching to them like that for? Because I want them to get on fire. I want you to know that, amen, you just got something. Amen. You just got the starter. You hear me? Amen. It can get bigger and brighter and hotter than it ever has before. But almost. I think back on my life. I think about just here lately. How many times my life could have been gone. I was working on a trailer the other day. My wife don't want to hear this, but put your fingers in yours, honey. Because I'm going to say it. I was working on the trailer, working on the springs of that trailer. And I had to change them all. Because they're not made to live in. Tell you that right now. If you're going to buy a trailer to live in, don't buy a fifth wheel. They're just not made to live in. They always end up being way heavier than what they should be. Wore out four springs, got to change the springs, putting overloads on it. And I had that thing jacked up. And I had to jack it up high because you got to get up. You got to extend them springs all the way. And they was wore out, so they wanted to go all the way down, you know. So I got them up just as high as I could. Got it blocked up. Bottom of that trailer was pretty high, you know, and I'm up underneath there working on that thing. I've got it blocked up. I've got two jack stands under it, and I thought, oh, it's okay now, I'm okay. And heavy duty jack stands, heavy duty jack, and I was working on that thing, and I had to come out for a few minutes. So I came out and I went over to the church. And I came back, and it was on the ground. Not just on the ground, but on the side that I was working on, where I would have been under the edge, was about 2.5 feet this way. That thing shifted that way. Jack was still standing. Almost. There was no reason for me to have to come out, really. I had everything I need. When you're down, like if you're like me, I'm getting up and down is what kills me, crawling up under something. But when you got everything you need down there and you're working with it, and all of a sudden you just feel like you just need to get out a minute, and you get out for no reason at all, usually I'd be saying, I'm going to work. I got something to work with. I'm staying down here. It's too hard getting in and out. Almost. I can write a book on almost. And you can too. Where your life was in the balance. These young men that I read about, I said young men, I don't know how old they were really. But they almost was facing eternity. And God called them back. Give them another opportunity. Well, preacher, I just happened to be here tonight. No, you didn't. You didn't just happen to be here. You don't just happen to do nothing. You don't know it, but you are. God knows where you're going to be at all times. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow, next week, next month. Amen. You need to look at this not as I just so happened to go to church. This is an opportunity. And it could be another almost for you. Almost. died. Almost killed. Almost run over. Almost. But this almost even stretches even further than that. Think about the ones that sit in the church house. And they've got into a position where the enemy has rocked them to sleep. And we're almost at the end. We're almost at the coming of the Lord. And we can't wake them up. We can't shake them. You ever tried to wake somebody up out of sleep? You can't get them awake. Hey, amen. It's like the preachers are continually shaking and a preaching and a reaching and a talking saying, hey, God's almost here. Oh, but the enemy's got you convinced. You've got plenty of time. Just take your time. Make sure it's what you want. I can promise you 5 minutes after your life is over, you're going to realize that heaven is what you want. It's a no-brainer, as they say. But almost. Hallelujah. He is coming. He's here to visit. Hallelujah. He's almost here to call us out of here. But tonight, are you going to make it home? 40-some years ago, me and my wife be married 42 years this year, so it's been at least 43 or 44 years ago. I was in a welding class with welding instructor's son. This guy advanced in everything tremendously because he was raised in it. He already knew how to do it. He knew everything about it. He just had to get the hours in to get the papers. That's why he was there. But he passed everything quickly, and he got out early, and he went on and got a job while we were still in school. But he stayed in touch. But I will never forget, his dad's name was Dorman, Bill Dorman. He didn't show up one day and found out that his son was in an accident on the job where he worked. He worked in a pit. It was like a concrete hole in the ground. And I don't really know why they were like that. But he worked on oxygen acetylene bottles and different things. They had different pits, and they'd be along pits. They'd be dug down through there, and they had walls between them. And that's, they done their work down there. I don't know why they done it that way, but that's the way they done it. And he was in this pit, and he worked in the gas side. They built the tanks. They put them together. They filled them beyond the pressure, recommended pressure, for the testing. They filled them the first time beyond. And then they would have to, they saved the gas somehow or another, take some of it back out to the lab. That was for the testing. And they done this on all of them. But the one next to him was oxygen. They had solid concrete block walls filled solid with concrete in between them. I don't know what happened on the oxygen side. But one of those cylinders, it had been filled beyond the recommended for the, you know, public, for the testing part, was filled to their max for the testing. And it fell over. They supposed to have had it chained, but they didn't. It fell over. And for some reason or another, some way or another, that valve hit on something, and it knocked that valve off. And you know, it has a torpedo now. It shot that full-size cylinder through that block wall and into all that gas where he was working, and it exploded. They knew he was dead. They finally got everything fixed somehow or another because he was knocked under a table somehow or another that he was working around. When they got in there, he was, I forget the percentage, it was way up there. It was like 80-something percent of his body. They said there's no way he should have been alive. There's no way, it was impossible for him to be alive. This was for months. He went through treatments every day. And every time they'd go for a treatment, different things he was doing, they'd say there's no way he was going to survive this one. They laid his insides out, cut him open, laid him out three times. Three times. I don't know why they do that. The nurses in here probably do. I don't. But anyhow, every time he'd pick up and start doing a little better, he'd get another treatment. He'd get another. And there was these baths that they, after so long, they was, when he could actually was conscious, his fingers, everything was melted together. His arms, everything. They had surgery after surgery after surgery. After it's been, last time I talked to my brother, it's been several years ago now. He knows him and said that he still had several surgeries to do. And this was like after 35 years. But anyhow, they kept working on him. But they would do these alcohol scrubs then. I guess every day he had to go at a certain time. They'd go down and they'd literally scrub the burns and scrub it off. I'm talking about almost. This went on for him for a long time. I got to see him one time before me and my wife got married. After all this, I got to see him. And I went in and I had to, they warned me, prepare yourself. It's not, he don't look, he's different. You know. But I went in and I almost turned around and walked back out. But this was his words to me when I finally did go in and talk to him. I said, how you doing? He said, Brock, he called me Brock. He said, I thank God that there was a God that heard me when I cried. Why does somebody have to go through that? Why does somebody have to go through things like that? Why do they have, I don't have the answers, but it may have took that to wake him up. He may have been that hard against religion. I don't know. But he almost left here unprepared. But you know what? Out of all that pain, out of all that misery, out of all he went through for years and still had surgeries to face. This was after 35 years, I think it was. Still had surgeries he was going to have to go through. He didn't feel nothing like he would have felt. He almost went to hell. He almost felt a flame and a heat like he ain't never felt. Almost. Time is almost up. How long are you going to live? I don't know. But did you know that it seems as if people are dying younger here lately? Just out of the blue? For no reason? Just dying? Ever since COVID? Does that happen? I don't know. I just know God has everything under control, in his control. And you're going to face eternity. But right now you're surrounded with almost. Almost. When that guy about pulls out in front of you, if you leave here tonight, remember, almost. Hallelujah. You don't never know what's out there. You don't never know what you're going to face. You don't never know what you're going to come in contact with. But God has mercy. He give you another chance. Don't let tonight be an almost. Listen to what God's trying to do. Well, preacher, I'm not sure. Well, try it. Go ahead and try it. If you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. You sat there lukewarm hearing me. You sat there, hey man, you was on fire at one time. You had a zeal, you had a longing, you had a desire and a fire inside of you, and you've cooled down, and you're sitting there telling yourself you're okay, and it's almost over. You don't keep coming back here by mistake. You keep coming here because you know this is where God's at. And you, my God, and a lot of times people are just coming because they long to be back to where they are. But you're going to have to step out. Amen. Like the preacher said a while ago, you're going to have to move to get it. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you take it. He's not. But how can you live in this world full of almost? And not take what God is offering you? Preacher, you're mad. I ain't mad. I love people. Okay? I love people. And I can't even begin to love you like God loves you. But let me tell you something. There come times, there's going to come a time when there ain't no more almost. It's not going to be close. It's not going to be, whoo, I almost left here. It's going to be one of these days. Hey, amen. That accident that looked like could have been fatal is going to be fatal. And who are we fooling? Who says it has to be an accident? You don't have to. You get up in the morning and put before you put your foot on the bed, but not even raise your head off the pillow, and leave here and go out into eternity. There's a story I'd like to tell you, but I ain't gonna tell it. My wife lost her sister. Well, we lost a sister. She was a sister to me. Tuesday of this week. She was sick and in the hospital, and them jumbling her medicines around and different things, but ain't no reason why she should be dead. She was in the hospital. She fell the night before. They took her to the hospital. They called my wife the next morning. She's in the bathroom sick. Her husband's with her. And she's trying. Bernadine, her sister, had him call her. Because they talk every day. Or did. Sometimes two or three times a day. Close. But she was begging for prayer. She says, get them people to pray. And she says, get Sister Ann to pray. And here she is talking. And all of a sudden, Jean starts hollering, I need help in here. Talking 1 minute. In eternity the next. You. It could be you. How many people we heard of go to the church house? We talk about you might not make it home. Let's just stop right here at the church house. What if you miss the opportunity and you sit there on the pew and you don't even make it out of the church? You almost made it to the altar. You almost heeded to the call. But you let it pass. God will let it pass by. And then he'll let it pass by. And he might even let it pass by again. But one of these times, you're there. You're there. And maybe, just maybe, you might be like Lazarus or this man that was in the tomb of the man of God and rises up when the bone, when his bones touch this guy, when he touched the man of God's bones. And God give you another opportunity even closer to eternity. Maybe, but I don't know of too many of those cases. At least not recorded. So we live here in this world. We come to church tonight. We get up in the morning. We go to work if given the opportunity. And we live in this world of almost. Almost ain't gonna count. Almost won't get you there. You got to get there. You got to get a fire. You got to get a determination to stay there. You got to fight. You got to push. You got to strive. Oh, preacher, that sounds like a lot of work. I want you to know it's all worth it to avoid that place called hell. And we fix an open altar. And you might be one of those that leaves here with almost went. Almost got it right. Almost prayed it through. Almost took that to the altar that God dealt with me about, but I kept hanging on to. Almost. I can hear Brother Darrell's phone ringing in the middle of the night. Hello, brother, pastor. Yeah, this is so-and-so. What's wrong? What's wrong? It's my daughter. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's that man that's been coming to church. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, they was almost. They almost made it. Please. There's some in here that's got some things that's got them bound. And God's had mercy and God's been working with you and God wants to help you. But you're going to have to step out and say it's time to get rid of it. It's time to turn loose of it. It's time to make that change in my life. He's not going to jerk it away from you. You know, when my baby boy, he's on his bottle. And his pacifier, his little thing. I'm different. Some people just take it away from him, you know. I understand, and I ain't against that. But I want to do things different. So I took him up on the top of a bridge there, Cold Iron, Cumberland River, across Cumberland River. And I looked down there. I said, look at Rick. I couldn't see him. I said, you see them little fish down there? I didn't tell him I could. I said, you see them little fish? I said, yeah, they little fish down there. I said, they ain't got no bottom. I said, they ain't got no bottle. I said, you really don't need yours. I said, why don't you let them have your bottle? He thought about it. He reared it back. He almost let it go. He put it back down. He done that two or three times. And one time he said, Daddy, wait, Daddy. And I stopped and I turned, and when I did, that bottle went whoo, over in the river. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He done his pacifier the same way. He loved that pacifier now. Some of you is being pacified by something you know is going to take you to hell because God's dealt with your heart. And you keep telling yourself you're okay when you know you ain't. You know you ain't. You know you got to get rid of it. Because it's going to be the very thing, the very first thing you see when you come to the end of what you thought was an almost. It's going to be the very thing God says, I gave you opportunity. I gave you chance. I even helped you out a few times. And you still wouldn't get rid of it. Is eternity in hell worth what you're hanging on to? Or can I say it this way? Would eternity in heaven be worth getting rid of it? Whichever way sounds best to you, either one of them is an almost. If you don't make it happen. Make your almost, dream, your almost for eternity haunt if you don't make it. Make your almost a reality this night. The Spirit was high here tonight. I didn't know if I was going to get to preach or not. And if people was getting help, I'm fine with that. I don't have to preach. I'm in this to see people get help. And if that's what it would have took for you to bypass that almost and make it reality, I was for it. Tonight's your night. I said, tonight is your night. God said he would help you if you had gone, just step out past almost. If you step out past and come on, God will help you. God will do what he said he'd do every time. You know, some people might not even know you've got a problem. And you think you're the only one knows it. God knows it. It don't matter what I know. It don't matter what the preachers know. It don't matter what your brothers and sisters know. But God knows. Can you stand with me, please, all over the house? I'd come back if I knowed. If I know that you needed a little extra boost and you really wanted to help and I'd come out and I'd take you by the hand and we'd walk up there together and we'd turn your almost into a reality tonight. He's gone. He left here and he was lost. Oh, but he almost went. He almost broke. He was this close. Pray, saints, pray. This is for you. I said, this is for you. When God dealt with me on it, tonight, I was saying, Lord, I understand what you want me to preach, but what do you want me to title it? He said, almost. I said, that's it. That's it. Almost. Because that's where you are right now. You're almost ready to step out. You're almost ready to make that difference. You're almost ready to change things. Don't leave here. It might be your last opportunity. As my daughter's singing, please come. I promise you, you won't pray alone tonight. I promise you, if I have to stay with you all night long, I will pray with you until you get free of whatever it is that's binding you. But tonight's your night. But you got to be sick and tired. You got to be fed up with these almosts in your life. Almost did it. Almost made it. Almost accomplished it. And almost ain't going to get you nowhere but hell. But you can change it. If you will. It's got to be your choice. Little Rick reared back and throwed the bottle over into the little fish. He only cried for it one time after that. I think we said, honey, you gave it to the fish. He dried his eyes up and he was all right. God's going to help you through what you feel like is impossible. And if you'll let God help you, he'll make it seem like you'll think, what in the world kept me back all of that time? Would you come? As she's singing, would you come? The altar's open. Please don't let this pass by. Please don't let this pass by. Opportunity. Opportunity. First Nicholas, the turn is where I saw the light. I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. Come on. Please come. It's better if you just come on your own, but if it'll make it easier, I'll do it like this. When I say come, somebody please hold him right there. Will you? Would you come? Would you come? Sir, would you come? Would you come? This is for you. You know it's for you. You know it's for you. You knew from the very time I started preaching that it's for you. Come on. Come on. Let's do it tonight. You'll be so glad you did. You'll be so glad you did. In fact, we'll all be so glad you did. We'll rejoice with you. Come. Come on.
The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Where it all
come
began.
On. It's your choice.
And I'll never forget
it's your choice. Nobody's going to make you. Nobody's going to force you. Oh, but we'll sure rejoice with you. We'll sure pray with you. We'll sure have a good time in the Lord with you.
And I'll never forget Hallelujah. That day when I made the turn. There come I was made on. New come again.
Come on.
The place come on. Where it all began.
Come on.
And I'll never Hallelujah. Forget that day when I made the turn. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light, and I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where I
almost
began.
You did. Almost you did. Come on. Come on.
The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light, and I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again, the place where it all began, and I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light, and I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again, the place where it all began, and I'll never forget that day when I made the turn.
Thank you.
life's a ride with its mountains and curves. And on this road of life, we sow, we reap, we hurt. But still today, there's hope to be found. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Just turn around. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where it all began. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. I turned left when I should have gone right. I chose the winding road that led me to the night. Warning signs flashed the bridges out. And then I heard a voice say, stop, turn around. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where it all began. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where it all began. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where it all began. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. With its mountains and curves. And on this road of life, we sow, we reap, we hurt. But still today, there's hope to be found. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Just turn around. The turn is where I first met Christ. The turn is where I saw the light. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. There I was made new again. The place where it all began. And I'll never forget that day when I made the turn. No darkness, there is no sorrow, greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone?